One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's What Most People Think, and I am still at the Fringe after a short upgrade to the Hilton to stay with the wife and the kid. I'm back at the Travelodge now. I'm back at the Travelodge, and a man whose voice is anything other than Travelodge, a man who is the fucking Ritz of voices, rejoins us this week is Dominic Frisby. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and what a pleasure it is to be here, and what a lovely introduction, and I can't help speaking in my best Werther's original voice.
Oh, it's syrupy, mate. It's just honey was fucking dripping off that shit.
You know, I was the voice of Werther's original at one stage.
Oh, well, you've got to give us a blast of that now. Come on.
Werther's original. Each one lovingly made in gold.
Gold. You get something out of each letter. I mean, like, gold is only one syllable. And you just, I don't know, you just got so much action. And aptly, that is part of the reason that you're on the show today, is you've got a new book coming out. Just quickly, tell us the title and give us the elevator pitch, because we're going to talk about it later in the show.
Sure. Well, this is me wearing my sort of financial economic hat, and it's a book called The Secret History of Gold, Myth, Money, Politics and Power. And it's all about this amazing metal, and that has been probably, after sex and food, the single greatest motivator in all human history.
I'm just being cynical here. I would have got sex in the title somewhere. What was it you said? Myth, money, just
politics and
in.
Power.
Just sex. Just throw sex in. Just throw in sex, and also just the words true crime and murder. If you want to sell a book...
I was reading a thing about the fantasy books that sell the best. And if you're writing a fantasy book and you put the word sword in the title, your sales go up by 30%.
I read this book years ago that it was about how to write a bestseller, and it was like a satire, and it was called The Tornado Ashes Club. Because the guy said that if you put the word club in it, it will sell better because everyone wants to be in a club. And then just something enigmatic that people don't really understand. You know, like the film The Smell of Water?
Yeah. The Tornado Ashes Club. That's just like, that's chiming on several different levels.
Yeah. And then you throw in murder, you got yourself a fucking hit. This is what most people think. I don't know if there are new listeners at the moment, but I haven't sort of laid out the mission of the show for a while. So I'll just tell you what it is. We're coming at the big political and topical stories with me and another comedian, and we just try to cover more angles than maybe topical comedy is known for doing. I'll happily have a Nazi like Dom in any day of the week. But we also welcome people who have fallen victim to the woke mind virus. My view is very much that there are pricks on all sides, and I want to speak to all of them. Not saying I think we're all pricks. It's just, we're just talking about degrees.
I think I've fallen ring to the right-wing libertarian mind virus.
We're all fallen victim of some sort of mind virus. The woke mind virus is funny, though. It's a funny phrase. We've all met those people. Now, this week we're going to be talking about... Well, as we're recording this, I held back recording this. It's currently 6 o'clock. Edinburgh time, not a thing. And as we speak, the European leaders have gone to the White House with Starmer there. That's very reassuring, isn't it? Yeah. It's like England opening the batting with fucking Dom Sibley. But Starmer's out there. So there's going to be developments that we probably won't be able to keep up with in this show. But we are going to reflect as well on the meeting in Alaska and just the general sort of drive towards getting a peace settlement for Ukraine. Well, I don't know what it would be. It could just be a real estate deal, in truth. We'll also be talking about the Labour councillor that got acquitted for incitement to violence. I mean, what he said was pretty much definitely an incitement to violence, but it went before a jury and they decided it wasn't. So we're going to get into that. Of course, we're going to talk about Dom's book, and I'm going to ask him some really dumb questions. It might be a new feature, Dom. Dumb questions to Dom. Should I give you a hint of an example of one of the ones that I'm going to ask?
Go on then.
Could gold have been another metal? Like, was there one in the running that if things had turned out differently, that it could have been, like, could it have been another one?
I know what you mean. You mean, for example, could it have been platinum? If we'd found sufficient platinum, could platinum have
Or just
been
the order
money?
That we found things, or if geopolitics had gone slightly differently?
It's actually a very interesting question. The answer is no. Gold is unique because most metals have a use. You know, you use copper for something, you use iron for something. Gold has no use whatsoever. I mean, you can use it to like coat astronauts' visors and stuff like that, but to all intents and purposes, it has no use. Its only use is to be money.
I'm going to be asking more dumb questions to Dom later in the show. And then in the patron only, because I'm still up at the fringe, we're going to keep pulling at the comedy thread. I'm going to lay out my theory and Dom's going to respond about why I don't think we'll ever have a new household name in comedy ever again. New patrons, we've got a couple this week. Remember, if you are a patron, you get the podcast early, ad-free, and with bonus content and other exclusive offers. Sounded sufficiently vague, didn't it? But every once in a while, there's free tickets for radio records, that kind of thing. We got two this week, Dom. As you know, we roast their names. We honour them with the roasting of their names. Christopher Sinnott. Christopher Sinnott sounds like, I think, a particularly harsh right-wing political sketch writer.
He is, or he's the divinity teacher.
The divinity teacher, Mr. Sinnott. Mr. Sinnott. I suppose I was thinking of Donald Sinden as well. If he was like a political sketch writer, he'd have been the guy that got in trouble for being particularly harsh about Rachel Reeves crying in the House of Commons.
I think so. He's very skinny.
Very skinny, angular. He could puncture a balloon with his nose.
He looks a bit like Severus Snape.
Yes, Christopher Sinnott. There's a lot of good sibilance going on there. That'd be good for the voiceover work. And then we've got Mark Eltringham. I mean, Eltringham, that's got to just be a place, doesn't it? Eltringham.
Like, it almost sounds like it's a swear word.
Eltringham.
Oh, Eltringham.
Oh, when you tread on a piece of Lego.
Yeah.
Mark Eltringham. He could be one of the founders of like a craft beer that attained like huge commercial success. Well, those guys then fired all his staff by text.
I'm thinking geography, Mr. Geography teacher.
Yeah, if he's a teacher, Mr. Eltringham. Because Mr. that name is fucking dripping with geography. And I mean that in a bad way. Our super patron, David Demain, he has got in contact and he always keeps us up to date. Well, basically, he takes things from the previous week's show and he digs a bit deeper. David says, I hope you enjoyed your holiday. Wonderful to hear Rachel Fairbairn back on. I always like her down-to-earth style. Yeah, do listen to that. I think a few people were away last week. I think it's peak week of holidays. So make sure you don't miss me chatting to Rachel last week. We were talking about Vladimir Putin and whether or not he had a wife, and I think he's gay, you know, like I think some of his I've got quite a good gaydar, and when a guy sits on a horse with his shirt off, there are certain things I deduce.
I'm 100% he's gay. He's like, yeah. It's just like when men are really, really perfect looking, you know, their appearance is just totally perfect. That is like just total giveaway, because straight men just aren't, you know, George Clooney, Tom Cruise, they're just so perfect looking. There's just nothing messy about them. That is a massive indicator.
Well, I think you're just sitting on a horse with your shirt off. But it's also the kind of thing that I think repressed, like his behaviour, that overly, like he's definitely trying to compensate for something he's not willing to reconcile with himself, and invading things, you know, getting people thrown out of helicopters. If he just suck a dick, you know, like the world would be a better place.
Yeah, he's also got short man syndrome. And we're going to talk about that with his, I think he's got something in his shoes. If you look at his walk, he's got funny walk. I think he put something in his shoes so he doesn't look that short next to Donald Trump.
Well, but he does, apparently he's got a partner, Alina Kabaeva. It's rumoured to be his partner. Forbes is one of a few
two kids.
Few media outlets. There's a 30 age gap between them. as well.
And I think she lives in Switzerland.
There you go. Keeps her in a bank lockup.
Along with the gnomes.
And then in May 2024, so I was talking about Kate Forbes being, well, she did a speech at some library at the Edinburgh Fringe. And of course, everyone's, you know, every other week at the Fringe, there'll be a moment of emotional incontinence where people can't handle the existence of people who hold other views. But I said that she'd step back from politics. But it turns out Kate Forbes, with her disgusting gender critical views, is the deputy leader of the SNP. She's the MSP for Kyle, Lochaber and Skye. I mean, that just wins the award for the most Scottish sounding thing ever. The SNP polling is at 39% in Scotland, so they're ahead of Labour now by 9 percentage points. By the way, have you seen some of Labour's polling in just Westminster voting intentions? Some of it is as low as like 17% now. I know the Tories is existentially low, but Labour's, I know I keep banging this drum, but not much more than a year ago they were frequently polling in the mid 40s. It's a genuinely unprecedented falling away of support.
Yes, and it's wonderful to behold. And I think we're going through, you know, because it's the UK, it'll sort of be muted and underdone. But we are going through one of those periods where I don't think we're going to get rid of the two-party system, but whatever the two main parties are is changing.
I reckon we're going to end up with four parties on about 20-odd percent.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Well, one final point, I asked about, because I've got more detailed analytics of who listens to the show and where, and it turned out there was quite a lot of people in New York, and I was quite pleased about this, and I thought that this might mean that I could do a show at some point in New York. And then a lot of very smart listeners got in touch and said, no, it's probably people who want to watch really bad porn that just have VPNs that are registered there. I thought, yeah, that's probably, that probably makes a lot of sense. Most people think. All right, just the thank you and the fuck you. I'll handle the thank you. It's to the crowds coming to the show at the Fringe. Currently, I mean, all the shows have sold out. The only tickets available this week are for the extra show on Saturday. There's a few for that and a handful for the Sunday. I don't know what it is, Dom. I don't know if it's the weather or I'm just getting really cool audiences or maybe this material. I've landed on something. But it's going well. And it's a nice pressure to have. But do you ever have that one where it's like you're surfing a wave and you're on the wave and what you've got to mainly do is not fall off the wave?
Yes.
There's another one in comedy where there's no fucking wave and all there are sharks. But it's a different kind of pressure where you're like, right, all I've got to do is not think about the wave, man.
Well, yeah, and you just don't want to do anything different because you don't want to mess with a winning streak kind of thing. And you do get very superstitious. But all I can say, Jeff, is it's good that you recognise what you're in and you deserve it because you work so hard and, you know, you get it. It's funny, the better you get at comedy, the more common these waves are. And to just enjoy it and be brilliant. And you deserve it.
Well, of course, you know, it's thank you, mate. That's very kind. But also, it did strike me that I think at this point, this is utterly conceited, but I'm going to say it, and I think it's the same for you, is I'm getting better at comedy at a quicker rate than before because I'm working out certain stuff. I don't know if it's a bit more maturity. But also, at the age where the comedy industry tends to look elsewhere, it's just the point where a lot of people have gone, oh, I think I've finally figured this out.
I think it's because you're at the point where audiences have come to see you. They want to, you know, they haven't come to see mixed bill shows. They want to hear what you think, and that's bringing you to another level.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if it's your own show, there is that kind of running star. But equally, there's another thing that can happen there, is that if they are pleased to see you and excited to see you, you get a nice little cheer onto stage. But if you mess it up from there, it's kind of like, you know, when you have sex that starts really well, and you're like, this is amazing. But then just something happens and it just falls away. Both of you lose interest and you go, should we just call it? You know, like when two captains shake hands in cricket on a draw.
Yeah, I find that happens to me if I do too long in the first half.
What, of your sex?
If I, like if I'm really, really storming and it's everything's gold, if I do too long in the first half, in the second half, they're far less interested.
Yeah, there's only so much juice. The waves are only so big. Another comedy metaphors. Fuck you. Do you have a fuck you, Dom?
I do. I was going to mention somebody else, but now it's definitely to Jeff Norcott. He doesn't deserve the success he's having. How dare he have that success and not me? And I'm really jealous.
Fair. What an arsehole. All right, we're going to start with talking about Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, the summit in Alaska.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I mean, first up, right, just going back to the weekend, so it's Friday of last week. How overhyped was that? I mean, it was so funny when the truth was there was nothing going to come out of that, you know, for several hours, but there was a lot of news beating down on it, just wanting anything. So it ended up with people essentially commentating on cars stopping. The car has stopped. I mean, that's the kind of commentary you only normally get with a royal death or a wedding, really.
Yeah,
The car stopped. The door is open, and then you know when they know that they're going to have to fill a lot of airtime, and they go, and that door is actually reinforced with fiberglass
tungsten imported from Portugal.
Yeah, with a sort of Kevlar mix there, and you know, Putin got in the beast. And now with Putin, given what we've said about him, that might be a euphemism for something he needs to do. He needs to ride the beast, perhaps. Sorry, men, we never mature, really. But, like, it's so funny with Trump, isn't it? Like, these moments are so obviously stage managed, right? So obviously the consequence of a focus group of Russians that sat around saying, I have got a great idea. Get in the beast. It will break down barriers. That kind of thing. But the thing with Trump is, I don't know if he's, like, unaware of it, or he just doesn't care. He sort of, maybe it means more to him that it demonstrates fealty, I guess. We're scared of you, or we want to be your mate, so we're going to get in your car. Can he be that unaware of how superficial these things are?
Well, I think Donald Trump is just a born showman, and he doesn't care. And sometimes he seems incredibly aware, and then other times he seems incredibly unaware. And but he's just a TV performer. He knows how TV works, and he knows how to exploit it. The thing that has amazed me, firstly about the meeting with Trump and Zelensky, and then about the meeting of Trump Trump and Putin, is that was a hell of a Freudian slip. But I never realised it, but now it makes total sense. Now I think about it, is just how big the egos of these leaders are, and how big a role ego has to play in international relations. And then you then go back through history, and you just think how many people have died simply because of the upset ego of their ruler.
No, I completely agree. I mean, one of the stories about Putin is at the point where the Soviet Union fell, he was still a KGB operative in East Germany, and he just hadn't seen it coming, right? So it's almost like that indignity, that shame, that way that the rug was pulled for him. It's so petty and pathetic, like that he's just never really got past that. And he spent his rest of his life just trying to get back to, God, that crazy Brad Gill summer I was having. Best time of life as in East Germany. And then suddenly it's all gone. And you're right. So much of it for him, I think I've sort of got almost a Freudian reading of what Putin. But with Trump, it's the opposite. You know, it's showbiz all the way. And Putin suggested in his weird little, he should never speak in English again, by the way. That voice was not macho or fucking impressive. But in his weird little voice, he went, maybe we'll do the next one in Moscow. And then it's made sense. I thought, yeah, Trump is going for the Rocky IV speech, isn't he? You know the Rocky IV speech?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could change, you could change. Maybe everybody could change. There's a lot of change. Maybe the most change there's ever been. That's the end game, I think. I think that's where the trilogy ends. I don't look, as we talk, this summit is taking place. So if, for example, Donald Trump has just bounced Keir Starmer on his knee in a press conference and we haven't discussed it, it wouldn't be that weird. And that would probably be why.
But I mean, when you see them, just it sort of the four or five of them, all the EU guys, all, you know, flocking to this and trying to get in on it, it's just pathetic. It's almost like going to an Edinburgh party when everyone's looking over at everyone else's shoulders to see if there's somebody more important in the room. And, you know, Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais are over that side of the room. And then there's all like the open spots all trying to get in on the conversation with Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais. It's just sort of pathetic.
Do you think it's in a way with Zelensky, because this, you know, everyone, it's like his squad of like backed him up, of his girls. You know, because they were like, everyone saw what happened with Trump just with Putin. And we're going to go, you're not going to be on your own. We will be there with you. And it's almost like he brought his girls over with him just for emotional backup.
That's exactly what it's like. You're not going to talk to Vladimir like that again while I'm in the room.
Yeah, he's too good for you. And there may be some truth in that.
What most people think.
So if something comes out of this latest summit, which is a workable peace plan, do you think, if Trump finds a way through this, do you think that liberals can cope with Trump finding a way through this? If it's like, he might not, he might sell Ukraine down the river. That's very, very, very possible. But if he doesn't, and there's a genuine acceptable way to stop the killing, what do you think? How do you think people are going to, who really spend every day hating Trump, how are they going to narrativize this success?
Well, they won't. Even if Trump managed to secure a deal in which no land got handed to Russia, I still think they wouldn't be happy. They'd find fault with it. But the fact that he has to give some land back to Russia, they're all going to be experts on whatever that, you know, that bit of, what is it, the Crimea or something?
Donbass.
Everyone's going to be a Donbass expert and why it's such an almighty gaffe and why Trump's going to bring World War III because he handed the Donbass region back. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think they're going to reach a peace deal because I just think both sides are kind of running out of money.
And in personnel, I mean, just the amount of young Russian men.
Too.
I mean, the casualties on the Russian side, I mean, obviously, like, horrific on the Ukraine, it's so high a price to pay. And you do wonder, like, back home in Russia, where all these families are getting the letter, you know, or the call from the military to say what's happened. It is kind of weird, like,
imagine if you lost your son to Keir Starmer's ego. But that's what's going on.
That's a great point. That's a great point to end it. Okay, we're going to talk now about this case where Ricky Jones, the Labour councillor, was cleared a few days ago of inciting violence. So the Labour councillor was charged with encouraging violent disorder. And he pleaded not guilty, which I think was a shout and a half, because I'm just going to read out what he said in the moment. So he was responding, they said, to far-right individuals leaving razor blades on trains or something. And he said, they are disgusting Nazi fascists. I mean, it feels like a bit of tautology there. You just go with one or the other, really. They are disgusting Nazi fascists. We need to cut all their throats and get rid of them all. And he also, by the way, he also drew his finger across his throat as he spoke to the crowd. I mean, there was video of him saying it, and he's gone in not guilty there. It reminded me, actually, Dom, of when I appealed a speeding fine, right? I appealed a speeding fine, and I asked to see the photo. Do you know when people play that trick? Well, send me the photo. And when the photo came back, it's fair to say that... look, I'm not going to be specific about it, but I've quickly accepted the fine. So... I don't know. What's gone on here? Was this a case of the prosecution being shit or the jury just accepting that sometimes people have mad moments and say mad things and we could, you know, we don't have to go to prison for that? And because the natural comparison is to Lucy Connolly, you know. What's your view on what unfolded?
I think the current story is because she pleaded guilty and he pleaded not guilty, you know, that's why he's got off and she didn't get off. And, you know, obviously the whole thing stinks. And she was advised to plead guilty and she told me she'd be let off by a certain time frame. And then, of course, she wasn't. But what's quite interesting is if, like, she didn't actually say that whoever was responsible for the Southport killings should have their throats cut. She said, I'm not, or I don't care if. Whereas your man, the Labour guy, went, they should. So, like, his is actually worse.
Well, if I remember from recollection, so hers was, I think she said, burn, there was something to do with burn them all down, these hotels.
Yeah, now, yeah, but she said, her words were something on the lines of, I don't care if they all get burnt down. It wasn't, they should all be burnt down.
Understood. So she's had a long custodial sentence. This guy just sort of gets off. I mean, listen, his life's not going to be great. He's probably going to be suspended from the part. You know, there will be consequences in his life, but it won't be the same as, you know, somebody with no criminal record being in prison, somebody, you know, with Lucy...
And separated from her kids.
Yeah. Well, with Lucy Cotton, like, what she said was abhorrent, but in both cases, there was a retraction shortly afterwards. I mean, what a lot of people are saying is this is why you should plead not guilty, because if it goes to a jury, right, you're then with 12 people who have a humanity about them that can sort of say, look, we've got the measure of this person. We believe that A, maybe he was going through a bad time, he was carried away with a crowd, and there was probably, they obviously thought there was no realistic chance of that resulting in violence. And they might well have said the same about Lucy Connolly, right? But you then come up against a judge that maybe is more following a sort of the line at the time, or maybe more ideologically motivated.
Yeah, but Lucy Connolly's become the poster child of this, but I think there are 12 of them who are doing time for something they said on social media. And it might not be 12, but, you know, it's a significant number. And they were a political tool. And they were used as, like, this is what's going to happen to you if you go against the government, if you say these kind of things. And they were probably suddenly found themselves in jail, absolutely crapping themselves. Some guy in a suit comes in and gives them some advice, tells them to plead guilty. They've got no experience in this situation. They don't know what to do. They're just going to do what the guy in the suit tells them to do. And he gave them bad advice.
What most people think.
Do you know what I think is going to happen with this? I think with Starmer, you know, because you remember when he said that he couldn't intervene with Diana, but it's a disciplinary, I can't intervene. I think Starmer will just not say anything and not say anything, and then eventually he will say something. I think he'll come in, he'll weigh in and suggest that it's been excessive for Lucy Connolly, because this is what he does, right? Like, he'll wait till the wind changes far enough, and then his attorney general...
I can't believe he hasn't already U-turned on this one.
I agree he will,
but I can't believe he hasn't already. It's taken him so long.
But given how he handled Winter Fuel, he'll U-turn at exactly the point of minimum benefit. it won't be the U-turn. It'll be like the kind of, like, what's the 270 turn that just ends up with you crashing into the fucking pavement, you know? And I think that his Attorney General, Lord Hermer, who's quite an irritating individual, this is a prediction. I've had two recently. I think, like, so I predicted 3 years ago that there'd be a Jeremy Corbyn party. Took a while. It's happened, right? I've also been predicting for years that Starmer won't last 2 years. I stand by that. And a new prediction is Starmer will U-turn eventually and Lord Hermer will quit. He'll have an absolute hissy fit because he's rode in very hard on this Lord Hermer. I don't know if the listeners would have seen this guy, but my God, he's a bit of an odious prick.
You know, he's so biased, and it's a classic case of people manipulating the law in a way that's not what the law's supposed to be. It's interesting that you say he's only going to last 2 years. What's going to bring him down?
I just think his own party, because also he won't be pleasing anybody. And I think the Labour will realise, you know, the Tories will recover a bit, Reform will stay high. Labour go, oh shit, this might be the only chance we ever get to do a bit of socialism.
Right.
they go, right, well, fuck it, we've got 3 years, we've got a big majority, let's have 3 years. You know, it's dangerous, I think. You know, let's just do some seriously hard left stuff economically, and we need to get somebody in, maybe Angela Rayner, that will do that.
I will say one positive thing about Starmer, and I have to say, I really do not like what he's done. I don't like his U-turns. I find him quite odious on a number of different levels. But one thing he has done, he's quite loyal to his team. Like, he must have gone, I've got to get rid of Rachel Reeves. I've got to get rid of Lord Hermer. You know, he's been under a lot
but
of
Rachel,
pressure.
Once Rachel Reeves cried, like, there's no way you can sack her for 6 months.
Maybe, but...
because he just looks like a big old meanie.
I know, but... And, you know, maybe he's, you know, as soon as you get rid of your chancellor, apparently, then you're on limited time anyway. Apparently, there's a thing about that. So maybe he's thinking that. But I do quite admire the way that he's stuck with his people.
He does generally. I do think, right, just being a cynic is because there's fuck all talent behind the front bench.
Maybe, yeah.
of any options. I'd also say that
Is that right? There's just no one who could realistically replace him.
Well, the front bench isn't that impressive, is it? People like no. Bridget Phillips and look, I can't remember her name. Is it Lucy? Lucy Connolly's the person in prison. But, like, you know, West Street in decent. Rayner's got a bit about her. Reeves, not well liked. Starmer, not well liked. There's a lot of insipid characters. Yvette Cooper, the centrist mother of dragons herself.
If he wants to get rid of Rayner, he should make her chancellor.
That's some dark arts there. But Rayner, but well, I mean, just finally on Rayner, do you remember when he tried to sack her twice and ended up giving her 10 jobs?
Yeah.
Well, that is why he's loyal, because every time he tries to stab people in the back, he ends up presenting them with solid gold daggers.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
All right, we're going to talk about Dom's book here. Just remind us of the title again, Dom.
The Secret History of Gold. Subtitle, Myth, Money, Politics and Power.
So look, if you're a fan of Dom's, you're a fan of this podcast, get the pre-orders in, it helps. But I'll say this, I don't know if you're aware of this. It really does, actually. It really does, because that first week, if you want to get on the Sunday Times bestseller list...
It's all about the first week.
For guys like us, I never managed it, but it's that first week is the chance for it to happen. I don't know if you know, you are currently number one in the bestsellers category... for antiques, collectible, gold and silver. So congrats
winning.
For that.
Winning.
I had, regularly, I was number one in puzzles. Fuck knows how. I think that was because on the front of the British Bloke Decoded, there was an image of a puzzle. So first up, congratulations.
Thank you.
So another one of the dumb questions for Dom about gold. When did it first become valuable? At what point did it stop being shiny thing on the floor and become valuable?
All right, I'm going to sort of change hats and be quite serious for a moment. Gold is probably the first metal that human beings used. Way, way back, long before the birth of civilization, we would have found little nuggets in riverbeds as we sort of hunted and gathered, and we were picking up these nuggets and wearing them. And there's evidence of gold being little bits of fragments from gold jewelry in Paleolithic caves in Spain, like 30,000 years ago or something. And we were using little bits of gold long before we were using other bits of metal as tools, copper and so on. And so it's the very first metal that we used, and we would have used it as decoration, as jewellery, but we also would have used it to hand out to other people as reward, as a tool of barter, as a tool of exchange. And so, to answer your question, Jeff, at what point did people first start thinking it was valuable? It was when we first discovered it in prehistoric times. And I don't know if you've ever held a piece of gold in your hand. There is something totally compelling about it. Sort of hold it. It's the weight of it and the fact, you know, gold never loses its shine. Hmm. And gold was, you can't destroy gold and it never loses its shine. And it was... created by interstellar collisions, they think, or by God, whatever. But it was created long before the Earth was created or the solar system was created. So that little bit of gold ring you've got or a gold necklace, whatever it is, it's older than the Earth itself. And it's never lost its shine in all that time. Quite incredible.
See, that's what I said to my girlfriend when I got her cheap jewellery from Elizabeth Arden. I was like, that thing there. Might not be high in carrots, but fucking hell, that's been around since prehistory, mate.
You know, there's a line I use in the book is to touch gold is the closest you will ever come to touching eternity.
There you go. That's, I like that one. Let's go with that one. That one, okay. That one's classier.
Next time you get your missus something gold, something made of cheap gold from Argos, you can say that line with it and its value.
Well, why isn't a jeweller ever used that as a strap line? To touch gold is to touch eternity. Come into, you know, Argos.
Ratness.
Yeah. Right, part of its value is I suppose, like most things, there's a finite amount of it.
Yeah, it's rare.
Are we able to calculate roughly how much there is still undiscovered?
I think 1/1,000,000,000 of the Earth's core is gold. So whatever you calculate how big the Earth's core is and then divide that by a billion and you'll work out how much is undiscovered. But because of the fact that it's permanent and you can't destroy it, and you can't use it in the way that you might use oil or use copper or something, it means that all the gold that's ever been mined or found still exists. And they think that's roughly 216,000 tons. And that would be like a square five-story building, something like that, that kind of size. Mm. A ton of gold would be about the size of a medium-sized suitcase, that kind of thing. So, and quite an interesting little stat for you is, you know, there's a lot of people who say gold should be official money once again. And I'm sort of on the fence on that argument. But if you look at world population growth and world supply of gold, they have both increased through history at exactly the same rate. So in other words, gold is nature's money. So population growth and gold supply grow at exactly the same rate, about 3% a year.
See, laughing and learning on what most people think. All right, this is good. This is good. You're absolutely smashing this. We can synthesize diamonds now. We've got lab-grown diamonds. Can we synthesize gold? And if so, would it affect the value of organic gold?
We've been trying to synthesize gold since forever, and it's called alchemy. People have been trying to make gold, you know, out of lead, out of mercury. And I write a chapter about alchemy. It's quite funny, some of the alchemical things that have gone wrong and some of the scams that have been perpetrated in the name of alchemy. But I've been texted literally in the last month by quite a few people have texted me. Some scientists claim to have created gold through nuclear reactions, and they claim to have made their own gold. But at the moment, the amounts they've made are so minuscule that it wouldn't affect the price in any way, in the same way that lab-grown diamonds would. So, but the way you would create it is through some kind of nuclear reaction. There's this big argument between people who like Bitcoin and people like gold. I think they're both on the same team. But in any case, Bitcoiners don't like gold and gold bugs don't like Bitcoin. And one of the arguments the Bitcoiners use is that as soon as we colonize outer space, we're going to find loads of gold in outer space and there's going to be so much there to bring back to Earth that it's going to make the point of holding gold, you know, it's just going to, gold supply is going to go up so much that gold's going to have no worth whatsoever. But what they haven't factored into that argument is just how heavy gold is, how expensive it is to mine. And like typically a gold mine would be about 3 grams per ton of gold. So for every ton of rock that you process, there's 3 grams of gold in it. So, you know, the amount of rock you have to process to get a tiny amount of gold is extraordinary. And you just couldn't do that in outer space. And then once you've got the gold, you've got the weight of transporting the gold back to Earth. So the gold in outer space is never going to come to Earth.
Yeah, they'll also be very dead, I would imagine, by the time that that's an issue. When you said that they were all like beefing with each other, I thought it was going to be some sort of like Rangers Celtic thing going back. But it's actually going forward to a time, I suppose, maybe if you believe in Bitcoin, you probably then believe that Elon Musk is on the verge of doing everything a lot quicker. Maybe those sort of personalities go together.
Yeah, it is Rangers v Celtic. Gold and Bitcoin is Rangers v Celtic, Tory v Liberals. It's just another one of those dividing lines.
Kicking
on the
off
internet.
Between the Bitcoiners
and the gold bugs.
But they got, like, you can't buy your wife a Bitcoin wedding ring, okay? Then they're just jealous, Dom.
Well, if you did, she might have sniffed in your face if you bought her that wedding ring whenever it was 15 years ago, but now she'd be really grateful that you did buy it for her, even though it doesn't exist.
What most people think.
Just finally, it will be available in audiobook as well. Yeah. So I'd imagine, I guess, I've enjoyed listening to you give these answers. So I think people will love the audiobook. How long is the book? How many hours and minutes?
I think it's about 60 or 70,000. I haven't actually listened to the audiobook, but I recorded it myself and I'm quite proud of it. And the audiobook is really good. All my books which I've done, the audiobooks get much higher reviews. Like if the book has maybe gets 4.3 stars or something,
yeah,
the audiobook gets much higher. Yeah. So people like it when the author reads the audiobook, yeah.
Well, because they sort of say, like, they say, oh, did you read the audiobook? I go, I absolutely love it that you think I have the resources to employ somebody else to do that. I did. I edited it as well.
Oh, did you?
No. Well, I was joking, just to manage costs. Did you have that moment? Because the thing is, you do a lot of voiceovers, so you know how to pace yourself, right? I genuinely, when I did the audiobook for Where Did I Go Right, I thought, I'm going to read it in the most natural way. I hear a lot of these audiobooks, and it's not a very natural way of talking. I'm just going to talk like I talk. And then it turns out that there's a reason people read in a slow, measured way, is because if you don't, you fuck up about every four mm-hmm. seconds. So I was trying to go, and then I nearly had a nervous breakdown halfway into the first day of doing my audiobook recording. I was like about 15 pages in, and I just thought, it's an art form, put it that way.
It is, and reading audiobooks is exhausting. And your brain, like by the end of a day reading, and this is my own book, if it's somebody else's, my brain is mush by the end of the day. And at one point I was reading the audiobook and I found myself just reading it. And then I'd read like half a chapter. And then I suddenly turned to the producer. I was like, I've got no idea what I just read. I have absolutely no, and because my mind was wandering and I was thinking about all the things you start thinking about when you're daydreaming, you know, ex-girlfriends and the football and the cricket and whatever, what a lovely day it is outside. And I just had no idea what I'd read. And yet I'd read half a chapter. And so I was obviously using some part of the brain that autopilot or something.
See, men can multitask, but only in the context of reading an audiobook.
That they've written themselves.
For the rest of you, it's going to be the end of the show, but me and Dom now in the Patreon-only section, we're going to discuss why I believe that comedy will never create another new household name. Okay, apologies to patrons there for a horribly contrived joke at the end of what was a really interesting chat. If you love your comedy, do join the Patreon and listen to that. I'm hopeful of doing a breaking news episode later this week. Dom, what date is the book out? And just remind us what the title is.
October the 28th, which is next Thursday. It's called The Secret History of Gold.
So it'll be August the 28th then.
August the 28th, which is next Thursday. Sorry about that. I always muddle October and August. And if people are vaguely interested, please order it now, because like I say, it helps, or like Jeff says, it helps get you up the bestseller list.
Well, do that, enjoy the book, and hopefully I'll catch up with you guys later this week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.